Good morning, everybody. So good to be together. It's the first Sunday after Easter, and if you've been following along with us in the lectionary readings, many of you have already read Psalm 16 at some point this week. And so coming off of Easter Sunday, we were celebrating the resurrection last Sunday, and we're just going to jump right into the Word this morning, spend some time in it, see how the Lord wants to shape our hearts through this Word. And today, we're going to spend our time just in one verse. Psalm 16, verse 1. And here's what it says. It's simply a prayer from the writer to God. It says, "Protect me, O God, for in you I take refuge. Protect me, O God, for in you I take refuge." I've been reflecting just this past week on, as I've been working through this passage, on a short film that my daughter's introduced to me recently. It's by Pixar, and the short is called Partly Cloudy. If you haven't seen it yet, at some point today, don't do it right now, but at some point today, pull it out, find it on YouTube, and just see what it's all about. There's no dialogue whatsoever in this little 5.5 minute film, but I promise it'll be worth your time if you haven't seen it already. I'm going to give you a spoiler alert because I'm about to tell you a little bit about it. But this thing's been out for, I don't know, four and a half, five years maybe. But I couldn't get away from the images in it this week when I got into Psalm 16:1. And in this short little film, it follows the storyline of a stork. And essentially what's happening is it opens up with the storks delivering babies to windowsills and delivering little kittens, you know, to doorsteps and delivering little puppies to dog houses out in the yard. And as the storks make their way back out into the clouds, essentially they arrive at whatever their cloud is that is creating the next new life. And so there's this one particular stork, though, who lands on a cloud that's below the other clouds. And so you have a lot of happiness going on. You have a lot of fun going on, the anticipation of new life and delivery that's taking place. But you have this one particular stork who lands on a darker cloud that's a little bit lower than the other clouds. And at the time, you see this cloud create an alligator, this little baby alligator, and the stork lands on the cloud. And the next thing you know, boom, there's an alligator for the stork to deliver, and the alligator just like bites the stork's head, you know, and they finally get it in the bag and it's delivered, and the stork comes back and he lands on the cloud and he's breathing because he's tired. And by this point, the cloud has created a ram, you know, and big ram's horns, and he's just smacking the stork. And again, they put the ram in the sack, and the stork flies off, and the ram is just flailing and just going its own way. And sure enough, the stork makes it back, and again, it's just breathing heavily. But by this point, the stork is starting to look to the other clouds. He's starting to, you can see in his mind's eye that he's starting to envy what's going on some of the other clouds. And as they pan to some of the other clouds, you can see that fun is being had. Storks aren't being beaten up by the new creation. And so he focuses attention back on the cloud. And next thing you know, there's a porcupine. And so the stork is there holding this porcupine that has to deliver. And it makes it back. And you can tell just in the condition that it's in when it comes back from delivering the porcupine that things did not go well. And so by the time it lands back on the cloud, all you can see is you see an image of a shark. And by this point, this poor little stork has had enough. And so sure enough, he flies away and he flies up to one of the other clouds. Well, now this poor little cloud that he's been working for or working with sees him fly off into the cloud, and he starts to get sad, sees what's going on, and assumes that the stork is going on for better pastures. And so he starts to weep. He starts to cry. And in just a few minutes, the stork lands back on the cloud, but this time opens up the sack, and there's a football helmet and shoulder pads inside. And so sure enough, the stork communicates to the cloud that I'm not abandoning you, but I've got to get some help. I'm getting beat up out here. And so sure enough, in just the cutest way, this little stork puts on a pair of shoulder pads and puts on a football helmet and kind of hits himself on the head as a way of saying, like, now I have protection. So now whatever it is you need from me, here I am ready to deliver the next gift of new life to earth. And so sure enough, the cloud creates an electric eel. And then come to find out the shoulder pads and the helmet didn't help at all with the electricity of the electric eel. If you haven't seen it, take 5 minutes today or sometime this week and watch the short film, Partly Cloudy. As I watch that film, and as I think about Psalm 16:1, I'm reminded of this truth. We all have our limits when it comes to danger. Centerpoint, you know as well as I know, we all have our limits when it comes to our safety. And there's a point in our lives where when we realize, man, we're getting beat up, we're being threatened, we're in danger, that something happens within us that we start to look around. Like is there greener grass somewhere? Is there safety somewhere? Where can I go for help? We all have our limits when it comes to danger. And when we open up to Psalm 16:1, the psalmist is in danger. There is something that is threatening his safety, threatening his well-being, perhaps even threatening his very life. And here's what we know. We know that whatever he's facing, it seems that this thing has the power to overcome him. This thing has the power to overpower him. And so by the time we just launch into this thing, even with just one verse, "Protect me, O God, for in you I take refuge," he's exhausted his own personal resources. He's out of ideas. He has no more plans of his own. And so he does what perhaps you have done before, perhaps what I have done before when I've been at the end of my rope. He calls out to God. He cries out to God. And he has this one simple request of God: protect me. Friends, this is a short prayer followed by a very honest confession. Protect me, O God, for in you I take refuge. Now there are various translations here. When you work with Psalm 16, there are some translations that read like ours this morning, "Protect me." But there are other translations of the scripture. One that cries out, "Preserve me, O God." There's another one that simply cries out, "Help me, O God." And Centerpoint, I'm wondering today, wherever you are, whatever's going on in your own life, do you know that prayer? Have you experienced that prayer? Have you prayed that prayer? Oh God, protect me. Oh God, preserve me. Oh God, help me. You know, for the last 4 weeks, we've been worshiping online together. And I think every week, the scripture has lended itself to the situation that we've been going through because of COVID-19. But the truth is I don't know that I've spoken to you very directly about this reality, but I want to today. You see, I don't know what it looks like for us, but my guess is that on some level, in each of our homes and in each of our lives, every one of us today is experiencing some level of legitimate fear. And I can't encapsulate every one of them for us today, but I want to share just a few. Maybe you're viewing this today and you have a legitimate fear of COVID-19 and what it could do to you, or what it could mean for you, or what it could mean for your family. You know, even in talking with friends this week, I've had friends say to me, you know, I'm not concerned for myself, but I'm concerned about my family. I'm concerned about the health of my family. I've had a friend say to me this week, you know, Dwayne, I'm concerned about what the future looks like. Like, what does this mean for us coming out of this thing? I wonder if there's some of us today that are worshiping with us who you're legitimately concerned about what your financial future looks like, or could this mean financial ruin for you? I wonder if there are some of us this morning, and maybe you're experiencing some of the destructiveness of your own habits in the midst of this lockdown. Maybe some of us, we thought we had moved on from some of the hurts and the habits and the hang-ups, but we find ourselves now in idle time, or we find ourselves in isolation and we're insulated from the world around us, and maybe some of our old ways of life are creeping in on us. You know, I don't know what it looks like for some of us today to maybe say, Dwayne, I have a legitimate fear of what greed looks like in this moment for me, because I want to self-preserve. I want to protect myself. And in so doing, maybe I take my attention off the world around me and I put it too much on myself. Maybe for some of us today, you've already been furloughed or laid off from your job, or maybe you've lost your job already and you're already wondering, what does protection look like for you and your family in the days ahead? What does your career look like in the days ahead? And so my hope is that this is not the case, but maybe there's some of us this morning where we feel legitimate physical harm from someone. You know, we prayed just this past week in our 28 days of prayer around the idea of what safety looks like for those of us who may find ourselves in situations where the words that we're hearing or the words that are being thrown at us are not uplifting words, or if there are hands or fists that are being thrown, or if there are other realities that would seek to harm us at the hands of others. There could be some of us today that are fearful because of what others are doing to us. You know, I wonder even today if there are those of us who are experiencing our own mental realities and what our own mind is saying to us in these days. Now, I'm praying for those of you this morning who would say, Dwayne, I'm not in a good mental space right now. You know, this new normal has already gone on too long. We're 4.5 weeks in, but I need protection even from my own mind speaking words that mean harm for me. So I don't know what it looks like for you today, but I know that we can come alongside the psalmist and we can pray this prayer, protect me, O God, for in you I take refuge. And while this prayer could take so many directions in terms of danger or in terms of fear, the prayer leads us to an audience of one. The writer knew exactly to whom he was speaking, to whom he was praying. He was calling out to God. And I asked the question, why does he call out to God? Well, he calls out to God because he trusts in God. And because he trusts in God, he's willing to take refuge in God. And I want to ask you today, Center Point, how are you doing in your life of trust today? You know, as we go through this lockdown and we go through this quarantine and we see the news, we're inundated with images and stories of what's going on in the world around us. How are you doing in your life of trust in God today? Do you feel him near? Do you feel his presence in your home, in your life, speaking peace into your heart? Or does God for you today feel distant or absent? Do you trust him this morning, or have you grown suspicious of his care and his concern for you? You know, in our home, we're in a period right now where we're switching from one kid movie to the next. And I shared with you the story of Partly Cloudy, but I kid you not, just this week, I took my girls out for a drive, and we were driving in the minivan, and they had the Angry Birds movie in, and I think I've seen this movie one time, but I heard a statement as we were driving down the road that just made me chuckle, and I truly like paused to wonder, you know, like, what was the writer really trying to communicate with this statement? But in the Angry Birds movie, the Angry Birds are on their island. They're being attacked by these green big pigs. And the next thing you know, they go looking for help. And there's this monument there on their island of Mighty Eagle. And Mighty Eagle is the one that they believe can help them. And I heard this quote driving down the street this week. They're looking at the monument of Mighty Eagle, and somebody, one of the characters, makes this statement. He says, Mighty Eagle is our protector, but no one has seen him for many years. That just stopped me in my tracks as I'm just riding down the road with my girls. They're trying to watch a fun movie, and the next thing you know, I'm embraced by this image. Mighty Eagle is our protector, but no one has seen him for many years. You know, in the Old Testament, God is often referred to as a refuge. Now, by definition, a refuge is a shelter of protection from danger or distress, a place that provides shelter or protection. And so when we go to the scripture, we don't have a hard time finding these images being played out in the scripture. Proverbs 18:10. It says, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and they are safe. It's a place. The name of the Lord as a strong tower is this place into which I run. I can go there when I'm in trouble. Psalm 61:3. The writer says, you have been a refuge for me, a tower of strength against the enemy. There again is the idea of a refuge as a tower. But I was struck by this idea of a refuge as a tower because a tower is a stationary place. It's a strong, well-built structure that can provide safety. It can provide shelter. It can provide refuge. But there's something that a tower cannot do. It cannot move. You see, when we talk about from the Old Testament, this idea of God being a refuge as a strong tower, we're kind of hit with this idea that there's this place I can go where the enemy is kept out. And if I can get to that place, if I can access that place, I can find shelter, but I've got to access it. I've got to go to it. I've got to go into it. Now, I don't want you to misunderstand me this morning because that's a beautiful image. The Lord is a refuge. The Lord is a strong tower. It's a beautiful word picture, but there are some other word pictures in the Old Testament that speak right to the heart of God that we see in the life of Jesus. Psalm 46:1, it says this. It says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. And so I think about the Angry Birds quote, he's our protector, but no one has seen him for many years. The psalmist in Psalm 46 makes this proclamation. Where is God? Well, where's the trouble? Friends, where is God? Where's the danger? Where is God? Where's the fear? Where is God? Where's the concern? Where is God? Where's the uncertainty? Where is God? Where's the trouble? And if you find the trouble, if you find the danger, if you find the uncertainty, you'll find God, because God is ever present. He's an ever present help in times of trouble. Center point, I want to tell you today. You see, it's one thing for us to come in here and celebrate the gift of new life. And if we remember last Sunday, new life changes everything. But it's another thing for us to embrace that new life in very practical, tangible ways of trust in Jesus for the very things that are causing us stress, causing us to lose sleep, calling us to cry, calling us to mourn and grieve. And I came to tell you today, Center Point, God is ever present. God is in the midst of our troubles. And He's not only present, but He's moving and He's active in ways that, thanks be to God, we can't even know or understand right now. And so here's what happens when we transition from those Old Testament images of refuge and strength, refuge and tower, and we get into the New Testament, we see the reality of the presence of God coming into our midst. You see, in the life of Jesus, we don't have this God who is this big, immovable object into which we have to run. In the life of Jesus, we don't have God as some far off, distant help, as if we could see it off in the distance. And if we could just get to God, we would find safe haven. If we could just get to God, we would find peace. If we could just get to God, we would find shelter. But what we see in Jesus is this refuge that has come and is coming to us, to meet us at the point of our need, to meet us at the point of our fear, to meet us at the point of our danger, regardless of what that looks like. And we saw that very truth in the life and ministry of Jesus. We want to explore all of them right now, but if you just stick with me for a minute. Friends, when Jesus wanted to call His disciples and bring them into His kingdom life, that's what He did. He went to them. He came to them. He met them at the point of their need to call them into new life. Jesus showed up. Jesus went to those who needed healing. He embraced those who needed healing. He came to those who needed Him. He showed up in the midst of the trouble when Lazarus was dead in his own tomb. In his way and in his time, Jesus showed up. Jesus painted a picture for us in Luke 15. He painted a picture of a God who is a shepherd who pursues lost sheep, of a God who is one who, if she lost a coin, she would search the house frantically. She would clean the house frantically, searching for the lost coin. Jesus paints a picture of a father that had been abandoned by his son, but at the first sight of his son, the father runs to embrace the son. You see, we have in Jesus the God who is ever present in the midst of our troubles. And this God in Jesus Christ came to bring us life and to give it to us abundantly. And so the very life and ministry of Jesus show us the difference between a stationary monument God who is far off that we have to get to and the God who comes to us. God is not far off and immovable. God is the one who meets us at the point of our need so that he might provide safety and protection and help. Centerpoint, what does it look like for you today to confess and to affirm that Jesus is the refuge? He is the shelter of protection that comes to us regardless of our situation, our circumstance, and he comes to provide for us. So here we are. We're on lockdown. There are literally four people sitting in the room right now with me. Pastor Alyssa's here. Kevin Davison is here. Keith Meese is here. We're on lockdown. And here's my hope for us, friends, is that in the midst of this lockdown, in the same way that we have sought refuge and shelter in our homes for the safety of our physical lives and the physical lives of those around us, I pray that just as much, friends, through this time, we would be seeking the refuge that is the person. You see, there's a refuge of place right now for us, our homes, but there's a refuge of person. And the person is Jesus. And while we seek refuge in our homes for physical safety, we seek refuge in Jesus for the numerous realities that were mentioned earlier, for financial peace, for jobs, for career, for family, for health, for safety, for our own mental distress, our own emotional distress, for any harm that someone might be trying to bring on us. And friends, I want to tell you today, you can trust Jesus. Lean in to him. You know, we need so much more in these days than simply the physical safety and protection that we can find in our homes. We need the help and the protection of the one who is ever present in times of trouble, regardless of that trouble or that fear or what that situation may be. One more Old Testament image for you. Psalm 57:1. The writer says, "Be merciful to me, O God, for my soul trusts in you." And then he gives us this image. It's an image that Jesus carries over into his life. "Be merciful to me, O God, for my soul trusts in you. Yes, in the shadow of your wings will I make my refuge until my troubles have passed." The language there is very subtle. It's not the big tower. It's not the big shelter image that we see in so many other parts of the Old Testament. In Psalm 57, we're given a new image of a new shelter, and it's the shadow of the wings of the Lord. It's an image from creation. It's an image from nature. By the time we get to Jesus' words in Luke 13:34, Jesus takes that same image. He applies it to the people of God when he says, "How I have longed to gather you as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but so many of us weren't willing." There's an incredible image that God takes on to say to his people, in the same way that a mother hen protects her chicks by bringing her brood under her care, by protecting them by her wings, by protecting them by her very life, so Jesus comes to be a protector for us and we can trust him. One of the things that's happened over the last month is we've spent a lot more time out on our front porch. So Marley and the girls and I, we live in an apartment in Waterford. And we have just a beautiful little screened-in porch. We're on the second floor, and there's a pond right outside of our window. We've enjoyed the rain this week. We enjoy sunrises, and we enjoy the wind and the weather. And there's a lot of ducks in our pond, and the Muskogees, or the Muskogees, I don't even know how to pronounce it, but somebody out there does. So these ducks are out there, and they're always battling with each other. We can see when birds are fighting for territory, for wherever the food happens to be, wherever it needs to be in the pond, and they're not afraid to go and just take up residence where some other bird is finding nourishment. And so it's cool for us, particularly with our girls, when we see that a duck has had ducklings. And we've experienced that twice in the last 2 weeks. One that had some very tiny little ducklings, and then some other mallards who had five ducklings, but they were a little bit bigger. But we've been able to see the one duck just walking around with these little ducklings following behind her, no bigger than a chick almost. And this past week, you know, we've seen this on numerous occasions, but Marley got to see it last week. She said that she was watching the mother duck, and there's a hawk that flies around. And that hawk, he'll land on the rooftops, and he'll be watching, and it's not uncommon for him to catch something around that pond. But Marley said last week that she saw the hawk swoop in. And as the hawk started making its way towards the ducklings, the mother duck started running and quacking and waving her wings in order to get to the duck, so that by the time she got to the ducklings, she could gather those ducklings in and provide shelter and protection for them. And sure enough, the hawk flew up and flew away. And I couldn't get away from that image. I can't get away from that image when I think about the very nature and the character of God. Center point, even in the midst of what we're going through right now and whatever may be going on in your own heart and mind, we don't serve a far-off, distant, immovable God that we have to try to get to, scratch and claw our way to. We serve a God who has come to us. A God who has actually taken on the very image of a mother hen who would protect her young. So, center point, whatever it is you're going through today, wherever it is you find yourself mentally, physically, spiritually, relationally, financially, concerned about the past, concerned about the future, whatever it is that this lockdown and COVID-19 has done to your spirit and your heart, friends, you can call out to Jesus. He wants to be a refuge of strength for us, a refuge of protection for us. And I wonder what it would look like for us today to call out to Him. You know, one of the ways that I can get Pastor Alyssa to respond to me pretty quickly is for me to threaten to sing a song with my guitar. And so I pulled out an old song this week. It's a song that has spoken to my heart so many times before. It's a song by Third Day, and I get it. Like, nobody under 20 probably even knows who Third Day is. I'm sorry. But I sent Pastor Alyssa a text this week, and it's like, hey, you know, short notice, but could you do this song for us to lead us into prayer this Sunday? And then I put this little caveat down there, you know, if you can't, or if this is too much, then I'll just do it on my guitar. She gets back to me pretty quickly when I throw that threat out there. But friends, maybe you've heard this song before. Maybe these are the first time you'll see these lyrics. But I want you to just take these words in, take these lyrics in. May they be encouragement and strength for you this morning, so that we might find ourselves in a new posture of crying out and calling out to the God who comes to our aid, our protection, our safety, regardless of where we find ourselves today. Let's call out to Him.